Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you.
It's been 5 or 6 days since Saturday, July 13th, and everyone I'm sure that's listening knows what happened on July 13th, but I found out about it while walking in a little hike with my boys and got a text message from a friend that said, I think it just said, Trump's been shot. Like, oh dear, what is happening? So obviously there was an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life during a rally, and we want to talk about that today and some of the responses we've begun to hear and ask some maybe harder questions than you'd anticipate. But how did you hear about it?
Did you go back and like watch the news then?
Oh yeah, I got back and watched, well, because it was recorded live, obviously.
Yeah.
So I watched that and then was watching some footage trying to figure out what was going on, and I basically jumped on the news within like 25 minutes or something, 30 minutes of it happening. But then it's all the kind of a fog of war scenario. You don't know what's going on or
a lot of that.
What had happened, but yeah.
No, we were, I don't know if I was working in the yard or done working in the yard or whatever, but I wasn't really near any kind of news or whatever. Got a text also from somebody who said, I feel like I should have gone to the political conversation potluck. So
you have no context.
I have no context. And this is something that, of course, we did at the church talking about politics. And then he forged me some text messages from a relative that read this way. There were a series of five of them. Kind of each sentence is a different text. It is by the mercy and grace of God, the providence of our Father, that Trump was spared. I will crawl over broken glass to vote for that man now. I don't believe the evils of the Democratic Party can be fully understood unless they condemn this. This is what happens when one side of the political aisle says that our country is going to come to an end if another candidate gets elected. And then the last one, left-wingers should be deeply ashamed of themselves today.
So you're just getting all these text messages.
Just boom, boom, boom. And I still didn't know what happened. So I'm thinking he probably should have come to the political conference. If he's getting people like fired up like this, maybe he should. Anyway, I think I, at the end of it, just said, wow, and send like the head exploding emoji, you know. And then I realized maybe there's a reason that these all came today. Did something happen? And then he said Trump was shot, and then I looked on the news to check it out. So anyway, I mean, it's a super tragic situation. I mean,
yeah, it's horrible.
A bystander was killed, a gunman was killed, and several people were injured, and the whole thing, the former president was injured. So anyway, it was really a sad situation, but there are several things that are probably worth us talking about here because they impact the way that Christians see this kind of event. And other people are going to think Christians should see it a different way probably than we're going to say, but that's okay.
Right.
The first thing that I would note, and I think it's really important to talk about, is just the immediate assumption that this was politically motivated. Now, granted, it was a political rally, and everything there was politically motivated. So, jumping to that conclusion wasn't the hardest jump anybody's ever made.
Sure, but definitely not the responsible jump.
Well, yeah, and it's basically aiming at the other side. Even the text that I received, right? The left wingers should be deeply ashamed of themselves today. Like it was them.
Right.
Now, the one gunman, what represented them, number one, that's sort of a problem.
That's a leap
to say that. And it turns out it's a huge leap because today's news talks about the motives of the gunman, and it just said, talks to a guy who specializes in the phenomenon of mass shooters, and ABC News goes on to say that he added that investigators may never determine a single or precise motive for the attack. Sources familiar with the investigation have told ABC News that a search of the suspect's phone history has revealed no indication of Crook's political views or his motive for the shooting. Investigators also found no digital footprint from a suspect suggesting any affiliations with international or domestic terrorist groups. They may have also been unable to identify any ideological nexus to Trump and or Biden, according to sources. Likely, it was a combination of mental health issues, ideological beliefs, and a sense of personal grievance. The same combination of factors present in almost every school shooting and mass casualty attack over the past several years. As with those incidents, the warning signs were there, but they were just not recognized, Cohen said. The threat was real, but people around him did not understand what they were witnessing or how it would play out last Saturday. Now, I want to read that kind of verbatim because, number one, it apparently wasn't motivated politically. It's almost as though the shooter didn't have really a political idea at all and just had a murderous or a evil motive just to do harm.
Yeah.
That's really all it looked like was he just intended to do harm, happened to be that place that time. Now, I might be wrong, too.
I think that's worth noting because you see something like this, you observe something like this, and we desire patterns and reasons and motive and organization and how can I bring some categorization to a horribly complex and chaotic situation. So we want answers, but I think one of the tragic things about living in a broken world is that sometimes it's just blind evil. Like it doesn't make any sense. It's just horrible. And there is tragedy that doesn't really have a ideological or even logical cause. It's just evil and horrible. And you can't go, oh, he did this because of X.
Right.
Like we may never have an answer to any of that.
Which it makes it just evil, plain old evil,
if
there is no motive. I mean, it's still evil, but evil with a motive we understand or think we understand better. But I think that people are quick to jump. In fact, I heard the motive before I heard the news.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the attribution of motive before I heard that what actually happened.
Right. Well, and that's what was surprising for me. I get back and I start trying to follow the news, and I have a special Twitter feed for just national news, and it's got a bunch of political figures, but also just all the basic news outlets. And flying hot and heavy were just ideas and suspicions, and from people who should be responsible. Like, what are we? You have no idea who did this or why that happened. And I think there's a desire to understand. Mm-hmm. And so if something's attractive and helps me understand, I'm just going to run toward it because it makes me comfortable. And I don't know what the other motives for some of that stuff is, but it's at the very least I go, hold, time out. We need to be a lot more responsible in what we throw out there.
Right. I think the other thing that I would comment on, and this was hinted in those texts as well, is just the complexity and the variety of conspiracy theories that surfaced immediately.
Mm.
They surfaced immediately. I mean, they're still lingering, sadly.
No. In fact, lingering is a generous word.
lingering sounds awfully benign, doesn't
it?
Yes, yes. But yeah, there were some that figured that it was the Democrats who conspired to do it, that they somehow got the Secret Service in on it, that the Secret Service allowed that guy just to access and was careful then to take him out so they'd cover their tracks and all the things. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Those are wild allegations.
Yeah, and so that was one. I mean, I also heard people suggest that it was staged, that it wasn't really hurt, so it was just staged. And then partly because of how many people said, oh, he's sure to get elected now, that they staged it for that reason, that the Republicans did. And so you got kind of both sides saying.
Which is also nuts. Just
on a,
we have to note that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put
we're going to have someone just graze your ear. This is part of the plan. Yeah.
We're going to have a guy who can't really hit anything. You know, just hit the ear. What is going on with that? So anyway, I'm laughing about it, and I probably shouldn't even laugh about it because in some respect, this is every bit as dangerous. In fact, it's related to the attributing of motives because it, number one, isn't true. Number two, it throws shade on people who really didn't do anything or who are completely innocent. And that, and I mean, I'm just really frustrated with conspiracy theories anyway, after all the stuff we went through with COVID. I don't want to hear another conspiracy theory about anything ever again. But anyway, these just seem quite ridiculous. And the prospect that that anybody would do that is just, I can't even fathom that. So anyway, but I just wanted to note that because it's on Christian Facebook pages that I've seen these conspiracy theories. That's why. And I think to say we're disciples of Jesus and to throw these kind of accusations at other people made in the image of God that are really legitimately as ridiculous as this, are I just think that that's dead wrong. And I think that Christians need to stop doing that. Or anybody who calls himself a Christian needs to stop with the conspiracy theories. And, you know, if it turns out to be that, fine. I'll be the first one to say that I was Pollyanna and that I hadn't, you know, that I was too simple. But I'm not going to be the one that says that, you know, somebody who didn't do it conspired with a whole group of other people and try and undermine people's confidence, number one, in other individuals, but also in institutions. That I just don't have any time for that. And anyway, I probably should.
Well, I think it's also a challenge for anyone. If your first leap of trying to understand is so influenced by a partisan brain that you are thinking about they and us and that kind of thing, and your answers are in that type of framework, like pull back and just realize that you are more influenced by your partisanship than you are by, one, your citizenship in the kingdom, and then just being a normal neighbor. If you're going to these us versus them, I can't believe they did this. Those are some wild leaps of logic very quickly, and you are far more influenced by partisan brain than you think.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe you think you are, but you really, you're over the top on that because you're right. That is what came out, was all partisan things. And anyway, take a breath.
Should we jump from the partisan to the theological?
We should take a breath. I mean, the other thing that I do think is worth talking about, this is really what we're going to talk about. We didn't want to talk about those other things, but felt we should. What we really want to talk about is the prospect that God spared Donald Trump. Okay, that was the first tweet of the one, or the first message of the ones I got is, by the mercy and grace of God, the providence of our Father, that Trump was spared. I didn't even know what that was about. But what do you think about that, Eric? Did God spare Donald Trump?
Sure.
I don't sound very confident.
Well, because of the
context.
Because of the context, because of the way that thing is being asked, that makes
it's
me less.
It's being asked on a podcast.
It's being asked on a podcast. Well, I'm going back to the text thread.
Right.
That question means something along the lines of spared for a particular purpose that is in our good interest and for our flourishing, thus blah, 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 blah. And there's so many assumptions wrapped up there where I go, I don't think that's accurate. But from just a general, was God in control of what was happening on Saturday? Yes, yes, he was.
And we're thankful, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's worth underscoring as well. Very grateful he's not dead. That would have been a horrible scenario for the country, for everybody, right. there would be chaos and crisis that would just be devastating. Mm-hmm. And that's we've been spared a very, very dire situation for sure.
Right. So your answer is, did God spare Donald Trump? And you're like,
yes.
Hemming and
wishy
hawing,
washy, yes.
I would say yes, too. I would say that he did in much the same way that you are spared when you're driving and a deer jumps out in front of you and you don't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
You're spared. Okay. And that's a great gift. And I'm very thankful mm-hmm. that God does that. In fact, we were told in Matthew chapter 10 that, you know, don't fear those who can kill the body, like even like shooters up in the mm-hmm. thing, right? Don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?
Mm-hmm. And to work that in reverse, sparrows are essentially meaningless. Mm-hmm. And if God cares so much about these meaningless details, then of course he cares about much bigger details.
And he cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
And he cared about Donald Trump. And so, in that regard, and specifically the reason I picked this sparrow one is that talks about them falling to the ground, talks about them dying, and God being involved there. And I think that God is involved in when people live and die in general, but on last Saturday, certainly with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My next question about this is, does that mean that you should vote for him?
Am I just going to be in the hot seat again?
I think it's just me going to, I'm just going to ask you questions, Eric.
No.
This does not mean we should vote for him. Why not?
Well, to the degree, I don't think it changes whatever reasoning you had to vote for him or not in the first place.
Exactly. Say that again. It does not.
Yeah, go ahead.
It does not change any of the reasons to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, that's, I think, there's nothing magical. There's nothing that should make you crawl on broken glass to vote for him, I suppose, unless you were going to crawl on broken glass before.
Mm-hmm.
But this, he was spared, and we're thankful, and that really changes nothing about the election.
Right. At least your interaction in the election.
Yeah, your participation,
right,
for sure. I mean, the fact that there's there are two candidates, that's instead of one, there is a change for sure.
And in past episodes, we've talked about what is the way we encourage you to evaluate your vote. It's evaluating the character of a candidate and evaluating the policies of a candidate. This, the assassination attempt on Saturday did not change
either
one of those things. There's potential that it could in the future, mm-hmm. But we don't know that with the information we have right now. So if you were evaluating one way based on those two things on Friday, there's no reason to change.
Right.
Nothing about that has changed.
So here you go. I'm just throwing you.
I'm running like for office again.
Softballs.
And I have to dodge all these questions.
I hope it doesn't give you any kind of extra stress. Does that mean, but the fact that Donald Trump was not killed, does that mean that God wants to make America great again?
No.
That's like
questions.
The dumbest question ever. well, it's the same. It's the same question.
Right.
Really, it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to have our wits about us to say, yeah, it doesn't change anything. And that's, I just felt like that was worth us mm-hmm. bringing up here and saying, it doesn't change anything. The character of the candidates is the same. The policies of the candidates are probably not changed. And so there's nothing about this that signals God's endorsement.
Right.
And I don't know.
Because that's how it will come up.
It's already come up. I don't know how to say it any more strongly. Right. This does not signal God's endorsement.
And these are good questions to ask because we warned not about this particular event, but the pressure increasing months ago. And this is just one of the avenues by which that will increase. So ask these questions of yourself and work through them so that it's not just, oh, my goodness, I have this intense pressure. I'm getting these text messages from my friends talking about crawling over broken glass, that's really intense. That's really, that's a strong emotion you have about this thing. Maybe I should be thinking differently about this. Mm-hmm. But no, these are good questions to just go kind of level set yourself. Does this change anything? Does this change my evaluation from before? Whatever. You can take a step back with these type of questions.
Well, and I think, you know, there's the particular, does this change anything about this election or my vote or even the candidates? Mm-hmm. You know, no, no, and no. But I think the bigger thing that I would counsel people about is reading into events in life more than is there. Because I think we do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that truck get turned left instead of right? That must mean blah, 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 blah.
Or God gave me a parking spot today.
Yeah.
He must love me. Well,
He loves you.
He does love you.
He gave you a son, not a parking lot.
Yeah.
Not a parking spot, right. But I think we end up reading these things, these providences. I mean, I think that's one of the words you would use to describe what happened here. It was providential. And a parking spot is providential. But we read the into the providential things that are not necessarily there, and then we go boldly where no man's gone before.
Well, and part of this is assuming we are one of the more main characters of the story we're involved in, and bending the observations we have towards our desired particular end, rather than what is God doing in the situation. You know what? I have no idea, and may never know in my lifetime. But if it's I want to go this particular direction, it's easy to go, this helps me.
Well, think about it. I mean, I just read a minute ago ABC News saying even the experts think they may never know the motives of the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this simple, angry person, they don't know his motives. I mean, how much less are you going to know the motives of Almighty God, who has been moving, who has been in control of history for the entirety of human history. And now, you know, we think, we know exactly what God's doing here. I don't know what God's doing here.
Mm.
And I think it's, if we can't understand this simple, you know, 20-year-old, how are we going to understand the infinite God?
Right.
And so, I mean, I think we can see some things from Scripture, but even if we do that,
have a dose of humility. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even then. So I think it's probably worth talking about a few scriptures that are maybe related, or you might relate. You know, because one of the questions that I would ask is, has God spared public figures before? Well, in the Old Testament, He did, and I think all three that we're going to use end up being kings of Israel, or kings of God's covenant people. Two of them are Judah and one of them Israel, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The first one we see is Jeroboam, which is, if you read your Old Testament, he's a pretty prominent figure because he was such a disastrous king. It compared all of the bad things that all the other kings did to, they did things in
the
way
the archetype
of Jeroboam,
yep,
the son of Nebat. But here we do have a conspiracy, and we do have an intent for murder. It tells us in 1 Kings 11, verse 40, Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, the king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. In other words, the assassination attempt wasn't even assassination because he's sort of unknown at that point.
Mm.
But the assassination attempt in Jeroboam's life was foiled. And you have to say, did God spare Jeroboam? I don't think there's any question God spared Jeroboam. And, you know, what does that mean to Israel? Disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we have to admit the potential even of disaster after God spared President Trump, because that's how it was for Jeroboam. And it goes on, you know, to the fact that he, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and Jeroboam ended up splitting the kingdom.
Which is horrible.
And he led, yeah, which... we won't comment on at this point. But he goes on and just leads them into idolatry, and it's awful. But you might say, wouldn't it have been great if Solomon had been successful and killed Jeroboam? Maybe then Israel wouldn't have been in such bad shape. I mean, who am I to say, right? I mean, that just is speculation that is not helpful, mm-hmm. and was not in God's will. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think you can say, yes, Donald Trump was spared, but you also have to say, and we don't know why, and the reason might not be the reason that I'm hoping for or that I would use my vote for. Mm-hmm. So that for me is super humbling that God spared Jeroboam too. Another king he spared was Hezekiah. Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, tells us in 2 Kings 20. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and you shall not recover."
What a house call.
Whoa, yes. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I've walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of the people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I've heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears, and behold, I will heal you." And God spared Hezekiah. Hmm. In fact, this is remarkable because the sun goes backwards and different things. And he spares Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a faithful person, and he did pray. And Hezekiah made terrible mistakes in the subsequent 15 years. I mean, he introduced Babylon to all the gold in the temple, which they ended up looting and carrying off when they sacked Jerusalem. But
and this one's a little bit different because it's a particular request, where Jeroboam is general.
He just lived through it.
Right. He lived through it. God directed as he saw fit. But this was a particular, Hezekiah is requesting the sparing of God, requesting the interaction of God, and God responds.
Yeah. But he saves him, and, you know, is that a great thing for Israel? Is that a bad thing for Israel?
It's a good thing for Hezekiah.
It's a good thing for Hezekiah, and it's complicated for Israel. Mm-hmm. His son is named Manasseh. And Manasseh was awful. In fact, he's awful enough that it says he continued in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. So he was awful, and it tells us that the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. Now, that you would expect he would be executed. But it says, when he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Mm. And that one is really interesting because that isn't even recorded in all of the accounts of this. But Manasseh's repentance and humility, number one, spared his life. Number two, spared his kingdom. Number three, it postponed the inevitable. But nonetheless, God spared Manasseh. This evil came in. He sacrificed his children to idols. He was not a good man. And so, anyway, what does that mean to us in this context? It just means you don't really know what God was up to when the bullet was by former President Trump. And that's, God could have been up to a number of things. Mm-hmm. And some of them were good and some of them were bad. And you can't tell on this end of it.
Right.
You can tell, we'll be able to tell on the other end, I imagine. but we can't tell in this end.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, if I were to ask you the question, mm-hmm. you know, to what end then did God spare Donald Trump last Saturday? You'd have to say, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And may never know.
But it would be great if it was not toward disaster like Jeroboam,
mm-hmm.
or if it was toward some measure of good for God's people, namely the church, like it was good that God spared Hezekiah for his people. Or it would be good if it brought Donald Trump to repentance like it did Manasseh.
Mm. Mm.
So there is good that can come of it,
yeah.
but we don't know that on this end of it. And,
right.
we may
and there's no
know.
Guarantee. Just because there's a sparing involved doesn't mean a good outcome is to be guaranteed.
And it's not just there's no guarantee. It won't necessarily turn out like I want it to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, we want to read into this situation that God is doing what I hope he'll do for America, or I hope he'll do for the Republicans, or I hope he'll do for the election. I don't know, but I don't know what you want, but I do know that you're not going to know what God is up to mm-hmm. last Saturday
mm-hmm.
For a long, long time.
Yeah.
You may know later.
Right.
So, Eric, what are you going to recommend to us and to listeners for how to respond to this situation?
I think the first thing you should do is pray. We've been talking about this quite a bit at church, and it's really been a challenge, a conviction for me when I interact in the world, and I'm realizing my first reaction is not to pray first. It's to do something else. And even in this, it was, I get a text, oh my goodness, what's happening? I'm going to go gain information so I can figure out what to do in the scenario. But really, the first reaction should be to pray. And we've talked many times about how in a political atmosphere, often that prayer should be the one, I believe the 2 Timothy, if I'm remembering correctly.
First, yeah.
1 Timothy. We pray towards the end that we could live quiet and godly lives. And I'm thinking, even though my reaction was not to pray in that moment, in that way, praying for our leaders, that we could live quiet and godly lives, I think God has given us a bit of that answer to that prayer anyway. Imagine the turmoil that would have resulted in a successful assassination attempt. Everything would be much harder on that front, being quiet and godly and able to live our lives in that way. I still think it's hard, and it could be easier. But let that be your first interaction, your first reaction, rather, because I know my default is not always that. It's to get information. It's to worry, maybe, and, oh, my goodness, what is happening? And this is so terrible, maybe catastrophizing, things of that nature. You can pray first, because when you're praying to a God that actually does know what's going on. And I think I heard this in a podcast today. God is not anxious about the things that you are anxious about. And that really gives me encouragement to pray, because there's a lot of things to be anxious about in the world. There's a lot of causes of anxiety. And just to realize the one you're talking to is not anxious, even though the stuff you're dealing with is difficult, this being one of them, that gives me a lot of courage that I'm talking to someone who's not anxious, who knows far more than I do. And even though he knows more than I do, that would make me even more anxious. But he's able to handle it and knows what's going on and is not dealing with anxiety because of what's going on in the world.
Well, I'm really glad you said to do that first, because that's exactly what 1 Timothy 2 says. Mm-hmm. First of all.
Mm-hmm.
It says first of all, actually, just like you did. Way to go. But then it says, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people.
Mm.
And I just thought, how interesting that it throws in four different kinds of ways to pray and includes thanksgiving. Lord, mm-hmm. thank you that Donald Trump was not killed last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of any Republican thing, any election thing, anything that I hope will happen because he wasn't, but simply, Lord, thank you for sparing us the turmoil and all of that. But that thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position. And then then you quoted the rest of it, that we might lead peaceful and quiet, godly, quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Mm. So anyway, but I just wanted to add in there that it includes Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. which I think is wonderful. So pray first.
Pray second, probably too. one of the things that this had me thinking about is while you're talking to God, just pray that he remind you of your distance from, we talked about partisan brain, we talked about working through who did this, why do they do it, who gains from this, who doesn't gain from this. If you have a proper distance from the political machinations of what's going on, then you don't have to be concerned at an ultimate level. You can be concerned about America. I am. You can be concerned about how all this goes together. I am. But if your brain is going towards, oh, does this mean this person's going to win the election, or this person's going to win the election, or who benefits from what, and blah, 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 just ask God to please give me some distance from that, so that's not where my brain goes. My brain goes first to God, you're in control, and I want to be connected to you more than I want to be connected to these other things.
I don't think you've ever said it that way before. You know, you said pray that Jesus would remind you of your distance. We never really talked about it in those terms. I'll have to think about that. That's really a good advice that though, yes, I'm an American and this is my country and this has a lot to do with my future, I do have distance because my home is in the kingdom of heaven and my king is still on his throne. And so I have some distance, and thank you for that. That's really a good way to say that. I've never thought about it in those terms before.
I think the other one, don't jump on the conspiracy theories. There's many. We've mentioned a few just via text message, but I jumped on Facebook for a hot second for I had to post the podcast, and it's like, oh, I need to get out of here as quick as I can because it was just so full. And again, it's I think I understand why. People want answers. People want to create order. People want to figure out why something happened. So let's put together a simple solution for that.
And some of it's funny. Some of it's like, here's a grand idea.
Yeah.
What if it was this? Wouldn't that be funny? Yeah. I just stay away from conspiracy theories. I've already said my piece on that.
Right. Though some of it is funny, don't wade into it. It's not going to be helpful for you.
And it's not going to be helpful for the person who reads it on your,
right.
You know, Facebook profile or whatever. Please,
right, yeah. Right. And because of that, avoid social media. Be slow. That's just the running mantra of this podcast. But just know that temptation is real, and just avoid those things because they're gonna take you down a rabbit trail. It's just not helpful.
Mm-hmm. And your final thing here,
I wrote, is, pray last.
Pray last.
pray first, pray last.
Pray first, pray second, pray last, and stay off social media. There, if you ever had advice for living, there it is.
Yep.
Pray first, pray second, stay off social media, and pray last.
should that be our first Sitting on a Hill merch? Just have t-shirts.
There you go. four keys to a happy life.
I like
pray
that.
First, pray second, avoid social media, pray last. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Maybe we should. Anyway, let me just, maybe I'll just kind of send us out with a benediction of sorts from Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 2. God just answered his prayer about helping him know the king's dream. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the dark, and the light dwells with him."
That's a good prayer. Well, listeners, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review is helpful for getting this to other people. Share it with a friend. If you have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com, and we look forward to the next conversation.